I'm very irritable because I started a low carb, no carb, carb, no low carb diet. And I'm so stay away from me.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Stay away.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess who I am? Stay away from me. Don't talk to me. Hey, that's not necessary. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's a Ron Van Dam show. That's why I am Ron Van Dam, because I match the title of the show. Oh, I'm irritable. Don't you dare look at me like that. How dare you come within 2 miles of me? I'm seething and drooling and foaming all at the same time. I'm multitasking. Let me tell you something, kids. I interviewed a gentleman named Daryl Ween, who was a physician's assistant. I don't believe that's a doctor. I don't know if you're a doctor or if you're a physician's assistant. I don't know how that works. I don't know the protocol. General, lieutenant, captain, doctor, physician's assistant. I don't know. I don't know where it falls. I don't really care. He wrote a book called Type 2 Diabetes, The Owner's Manual. We're going to talk to him on Tuesday's show. And I spoke to him off the air, and he gave me a copy of his book because he has to. He doesn't have to, but he did. Very intelligent man. And all of a sudden, I found myself like enraptured in his conversation. And it's kind of the old theory that it's the carbohydrates that make you gain weight. And if you ate less carbohydrates or none, You for sure would lose weight. I'm not a fat man. I'm not a heavy man. I weigh more than I should. According to the International National Council of Weight Measurements and Tobacco and Firearms, I am obese. I'm not obese. I'm tall. I'm 6'3" tall, and I have some weight on me because I'm 6'3" tall. I'm supposed to weigh 180 pounds. That ain't ever going to happen. I weighed less than 180 when I was like 20 years old, but that was before I ate anything. Over the years, I learned how to eat voraciously, and also your metabolism changes. Hello. It happens to everybody except vegans. I don't know why. I don't know why. In any event, I got a tiny little pot in the stomach area, and if I lose that, I would look fantastic. So I have endeavored. I've controlled my weight rather. Ron, do you think we care about this? What do you think this is, Facebook? I'm sorry. Am I out of line or something? So I've been struggling with this for quite some time, and there you have it. So I was speaking to this Daryl Ween, who wrote this book, and it's incredible. It lists every single food that you put in your mouth and how many carbohydrates it has. If you eat less carbs or no carbs, you will lose weight, pretty much, unless you just eat voraciously all day, no matter what it is. I guess that doesn't work either, but who does that except for really large people? Or people who just sit around all day and watch TV. Then that's a psychological problem more than anything. But I love breads and I love pastas and I love potatoes, even though I'm not Irish. It's amazing. And I like rice, even though I'm not, you know what I'm saying. Those are some racist comments thrown in there, but with love. They're love of culture is what they are. They're love of cultures. They're love of foods and food cultures. So I am irritable because for the past 2 days, I have not really had any carbs whatsoever. I have cut out cereals, pastas, breads, everything. They are lovely, lovely foods, and I'm angry about it. I start yelling at wheat. I go to the supermarket and I scream as I walk down the supermarket aisles. I scream at bread. I say, "What you messed me up, you stupid bread. You stupid bread, you." And then I go into the bakery department where you can smell them baking the bread and the cakes and the pies. And I scream at the employees. I say, you are Antichrist people. You are out to destroy me. Because in the eyes of the government, I'm obese, you understand. The government also feels by their weights and measurements and all that stuff that I'm also an asshole, apparently. I'm an asshole, and I also am obese. I'm an obese asshole. So who wants to be that? Raise your hand. Oh, look at all the hands go up. So I've been consciously trying to do this, and that means depriving myself. Now, this is no different than quitting smoking. It's no different. It's withdrawal. It's no different than quitting alcohol. And I'm not talking about rubbing alcohol. I'm talking about drinking alcohol. It's no different. There's a withdrawal involved. I understand that. I get that. I am going through starch withdrawal. And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. I replace it with other things, like heroin. Kidding, that's a joke. It's awful. It's awful. Because I'm tempted by this all the time. I mean, if I don't smell somebody smoking cigarettes or have cigarettes around me, I won't smoke. I'll go through withdrawal, but it won't be in my face. Food is in my face all the time. Everywhere I go, people are eating this stuff. And they look so happy. Oh, man. Remember that commercial for Prince Spaghetti? It was North Boston. There was a little kid named Anthony. And one Italian named Anthony. Should have been Luigi. Hey, Luigi. Hey, come in here. Anyway, Anthony is a little kid. And Anthony's a mother. I don't know her name. I'm sure she had one, maybe not in the commercials. And she sticks her head out of the window of this third floor ratty apartment, this Italian in the North End. And she sticks her head out, which is the communication device used in the North End of Boston, is to stick your head out the window and yell for people. It's cheaper than using the telephone. And she sticks her head out, and she's the perfect Italian-looking lady, you know, chunky, like she eats everything that she cooks, and she's got little moles on her face, and, you know, just a delightful woman. And she sticks her head out of the window, and she yells, "Anthony, Anthony, Anthony!" And Anthony knows it's Prince Spaghetti Day, and that whenever his mother sticks her head out of the window, there's spaghetti involved. And he goes, "Anthony, Anthony." And Anthony is, he's robbing a bank, and all of a sudden he stops, and he's not robbing a bank. He's just walking down the street, and he runs home at top speed because the spaghetti's ready, because Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day. Apparently Anthony, he's like 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. Apparently Anthony hasn't understood what routine is. It's not like, he's surprised every Wednesday that they're serving spaghetti upstairs in the house. He's just it's Wednesday, spaghetti day. Oh, I got to run home. Why don't you just stay home? Why don't you just stay home all day and wait for your mother? That way she doesn't have to stick her head out the window and call you for the stupid spaghetti thing. It's obviously Wednesday. You know it's time to eat the spaghetti. So Anthony goes running home. And that's the way I feel. I got a little Anthony in me. Now stop it. I'm not Jared from Subway. I'm just saying. I feel like Anthony. I feel like I've been called to dinner constantly throughout my life, and I run home even when no one's calling me because I love to eat. I think it's one of the pleasures of life. I like to breathe, I like to have sex, and I like to eat. Beyond that, maybe a drink or two of alcohol, and I'm good. I'm good. I'm good for the whole journey at this point. Food is just such an incredible pleasure. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can eat it, you can be nourished by it, you can feel it, you can embrace it, you can have it put on your nipples. It's just incredible stuff, food. So this is significant to me. And when I got a little bit older, my metabolism changed. My body said, I'm not going to be burning everything right now. We're just going to let the food sit in you for a while. And it's even going to be a little bit tough to go to the bathroom. We're going to introduce a concept called constipation. So you're going to learn a lot more things, Ron, as you get older. And the body says, I don't want to burn so much. We're going to let you retain some of this food. You're going to get fat. So all of a sudden, weight becomes a little bit of a struggle. It just doesn't burn off naturally. Partially because of my age and partially because I don't do anything. When you're a kid, you go outside, you play. When you're in college, you walk around the campus, you get on a bicycle and you do things and you move around and you play some sports and stuff like that. And you're a young adult, you're getting all pepped up and chasing after the baby and stuff like that and dating and looking like you're athletic even though you're not. And then somehow, when you get married, life changes for both the male and the female. You start to get fat. Marriage makes you fat. And that's because you're spending more time at home and less running around. And that marriage makes you fat. You don't have to look good anymore. You already bagged your partner. They're there by law. So you don't have to try so hard. And you start to like loosen it up just a bit. You do. You get more of a routine. In many cases, you have your first child. And after running around and chasing the little bastard, I mean child, for a while, you start to lose weight. Women put on weight in order to get that fetus kicked up, you know, that urinary sac, or what do you call that thing? The vagina of love, the holding tank. And the holding tank don't go away. I mean, it's like eating a pie. Once you eat a pie, you're always going to eat the pie, and the pie crust ain't going to go anywhere. It's going to be fat. And that's what happens when you have a child for a woman. You don't bounce back. The more children you have, the less bouncing you do, unless you're just one of them lucky bitches. Guys, you start laying back a little bit. Your weekends are spent in front of the television set with a beer in your hand, and a beer is total carbs. And you start to get fat. That's one aspect of it. The other is that your body does start to burn less. So you get into a rut. Most people do. Now, there are some very, very skinny bitches out there that don't have to worry about weight through their entire life. Good for you. That's really nice. I guess there are exceptions to every rule. But for the most part, the general populace struggles with weight. And if they're not fat, it's because they're doing everything they can to stay not fat. This is a common thing. Yet you go into every restaurant and you order food and they pile it on the dish. And there's French fries and there's breads. And while you're waiting, would you like some rolls? Why, sure. It's free. Let's eat them. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. It's just terrible. It's terrible. That's why it's difficult for me and anybody to lose weight, because you're shoving food in my face all the time. There's food all over the place, and there's people enjoying food all over the place. You go to carnivals and fairs, and there's deep-fried Snickers bars. What are you, serious? Why don't you just put a pitchfork in your hand and paint your body red, because you're the devil personified standing there trying to sell me deep-fried Snickers bars and corn dogs? What are we doing? What are we doing? So as long as you're making that shit, I'm eating it. So this is the struggle. And I was pretty good. I was down to my to a level that I wasn't called obese anymore by the American government of social standards. And that was really, really nice. That was really, really nice. And then I remember Thanksgiving came last year, and there were a lot of pies involved. People brought pies over. And I started eating the pies and found them extremely tasty. And then I started making turkey sandwiches with the leftover turkey and eating dozens of them. And then as soon as I would turn around, there was Christmas, with Christmas parties and hors d'oeuvres and cakes and pies again, and meats and fishes and people and And then the winter came, and it wasn't especially cold in the Northeast last winter, but you're inside. It's macaroni and cheese and chilies and all this kind of what they call comfort food, comfortable for fat. And I never really lost that stuff that I picked up around the holidays, and now here it is, almost the holidays again, and I haven't reduced it. Now I'm scared about the holidays because I'm probably going to add on to that what I already have. So I decided I need to do something about it right now. Now, I have a doctor's appointment coming up in 2 months from now. But it's going to take me 2 months to get down to the weight that I want to get to. And that's going to be around the time of the holidays. So I have tried so much. So I have not eaten any potatoes, any breads, any starches, any pastas, any rice, nothing like that. No cereals. And it's been tough. Now, I'm not really crabby like I'm having my period or anything. And thank God I don't have those anymore. That's the one thing about getting older. You don't have your period anymore, right, guys? I wasn't very good in anatomy classes in school. Can you tell? Because I think my uterus has shriveled up because I haven't seen it in a long time. Is he joking or is he serious? Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. I don't know. All right. I'm going to switch subjects now because I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm sorry I don't want to talk about it. I wish there was an oral condom that I could put in my mouth. And every time I got hungry, I would put this oral condom in my mouth. And I could eat all I wanted, but it wouldn't go down my throat. It would stay in the condom. And then when I was finished eating, I would take the condom out of my mouth, tie it into a neat little bow, and throw it in the garbage. So I could have all the pleasure of eating the food, smelling the food, tasting the food, but it doesn't go down my throat. The condom stops it from going down my throat. Possible? Probably not. I'm just saying. It's possible? Probably not. Probably not.
Here's what the internet is good for. Porn. 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 Really weird porn. Porn. Funny cat videos. Porn. And the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, when you need a little break from all those funny cat videos. Those things can really do a number on your wrist.
Oh, it's true. They've done a number on my wrists. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Would you go to our Facebook page, please, and like us? There's no financial remuneration for doing so on anybody's part, so I don't understand why I'm even asking you to do it. It's because I paid somebody to make a Facebook page for the show, and I feel that I should somehow make that worthy in some sense, if for no reason at all other than to just say it. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's the Facebook page name. Go there, like it. And you can hook up directly from that page to all the shows, listen to them any time of day. Or you can go directly to the site, which is probably where you are now, which is newenglandbroadcasting.com. Or we're also found on the Podbean podcast server. And we're also found on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, YouTunes, We All Scream for Tunes, and Spotify, and all that crap. you'd like to reach me, and I suggest you don't, it's ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the program, be interviewed because you've done something incredibly ridiculous, or maybe you've written a book which is also incredibly ridiculous, or you want to suggest certain subject matter that you would like discussed, you can do it there at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Thank you so much. Okay, all right, okay, fine. Here's the deal. I live in Massachusetts, not by choice. I moved up here because there was a job offering, and I got the job, and I was living in New York, so I had to move to Massachusetts. I no longer have that job, thank God. Because that was around the time that I got into television and radio up here, and that has been fun. I've had many fun years with that, I really have. It's been a blessing, to be honest with you, but nonetheless, I digress. I moved to Massachusetts, and New York is a very expensive real estate market, and Massachusetts is one of the most expensive real estate markets in the entire country. But I watch these television shows like House Hunters and things on the Home and Garden Network. I like that. And I'm amazed that houses, huge houses, like five bedroom with three bathrooms and 15, 20 rooms or something, these huge houses. When you go to the South, you know, in the North Carolina and Atlanta, Georgia, and stuff like that, and other places, these houses are like half the price of my house, and they're bigger than my house. And I'm floored by that. The trick is you have to move to the South to have a house like that. That's where it gets a little dicey for me. Although I could literally do this from any state in the country, I choose to stay in the Northeast because I like to be amongst human beings. Ron, that was nasty. You think you're going to gain listeners talking like that? Of course I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. You know I'm kidding, don't you? So I became fascinated. We had a chance to speak to Coldwell Banker. It's very difficult to say. We're going to do that right now. And we're going to find out what the market is like in other states and where are the most expensive places to live, etc. So that's kind of fascinating, don't you think? Don't argue with me. I think it is, too. Charlie Young, the CEO of Coldwell Banker Real Estate, LLC, joins us now. We've spoken to this entity before. They are the experts in the housing markets, and I think you've done a market ranking recently, I understand.
Yep, that's right, Ron. We just released the Coldwell Banker Home Listing Report, the report is the most extensive home comparison pricing tool out there. It compares a four-bedroom, two-bath home mm-hmm. in over 2,000 markets across the United States.
Okay.
It's a good, useful data point for consumers to see what their own market looks like, as well as markets they might be interested in moving in.
Interesting. Before we get into it, let's have some fun with it. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the most inexpensive market?
I'll go anywhere you want. I think the interesting thing about the most the most affordable markets is that there's a lot of geographic diversity. There once was a time where the sort of the heartland of America is where you'd find the most affordable housing. Uh-huh. Today, you're seeing the Midwest, but you also are seeing places like New York State, Pennsylvania, even down into Florida.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, typically New York and Los Angeles would be the most expensive, I guess, but I guess that changes as well.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. When you look at the most expensive markets in the United States, the top 10 this year, all of them are in the great state of California.
Oh, so that's
if you look, if you look at the top 100, about half of those markets are California markets. And I think when you when you look at this list, one thing comes right to the top. It's you know, it reinforces that point about real estate location, location, location. When you look at California, you've got a great climate, great quality of life. In the markets that are showing up at the top of this list, you've got real healthy job markets. And so those things combined with low inventory or choice of housing, that's going to drive your pricing up.
Yeah. I mean, just an example, Saratoga, California, I believe was the most expensive average listing price of about $2.5 million for a four-bedroom, two-bathroom home?
That's right. And, you know, most of your listeners probably I've never heard of Saratoga, California before, but it is a nice small community in what is known as Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You've got the big name tech employers right down the street, Apple, Google, Facebook. This is a location that brings really high-priced tech jobs. I know the Boston market is known for tech as well, so you're familiar with that. But the other thing that's interesting about this market is it brings great quality of life. They're known in Saratoga for, you know, award-winning public schools.
Yeah.
The plot size for property in Saratoga is a little bit larger, so it's very attractive from that standpoint. But here's the key. I mean, there's not much room for future development. And so supply is limited, and the demand is real high. That's what drives
drives it up, yeah.
So it's sort of astonishing. I mean, a four-bedroom, two-bath house, that's what we would consider an aspirational home for your average American.
Correct.
And it's tapping in at $2.5 million.
Yeah, that's a tap. That's a big tap.
Let's
go the other side of the coin where it's really on the low end. What would be the winner there?
Well, this year we're looking at Detroit, Michigan, leading the list of most affordable markets at $64,000.
Oh, my God. I mean,
you know, I think that's
My car almost cost that much money.
Yeah, you know, I think the interesting thing to take note about Detroit is this is a city that's gone through a great renaissance in the last several years. But housing is still very affordable. They've got also a really healthy job market. The downtown Metro Detroit area is going through resurgence. Dan Gilbert, who is the founder and CEO of Quicken Loans, has put in a lot of his own personal money, made a real corporate commitment to town. So there's great culture there, great restaurants, and young folk are moving downtown. They love the walkability of Detroit. You've got the major sports teams, obviously, which make for a good city environment. So you can get a great quality of life at a lower cost. You don't need to be at the prices we're talking about in California.
Wow. Now, we broadcast out of the Boston area. Where does the city of Boston line up, or any surrounding towns?
Well, you know, the state of Massachusetts is not inexpensive.
Right.
The state of Massachusetts is the second most expensive state in the United States,
really?
According to our survey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Boston ranks 159th on the list out of just over 2,000 markets measured.
Wow.
Wellesley, you know, for those of you that are from the greater Boston area, would not be surprised to know that Wellesley is your most expensive market in Massachusetts at about $1.3 million.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the closer you get to Boston, the more that's going to cost you when you get to the nice neighborhoods. Yeah.
And to that point, again, you know, the location piece, Springfield out west comes in at $140,000. That'd be your most affordable.
Right.
And let's just put this all in perspective. The average price of a four-bedroom, two-bath home, according to our survey across America, is about $320,000. There are about 1,300 markets in our survey that you can buy what we would consider, you know, an average American home for $320,000 or less. So when you look at prices in Boston area, and if you look at, you know, the state ranking at 577 for Massachusetts, you're above that average.
Yeah. I mean, and it always, doesn't it fall pretty much usually into, well, one of the aspects was that there is no room to expand, and the other aspect is that the area is, the jobs, I mean, the salaries are better in those areas, so they become
affordable. Absolutely. When you look at when you look at housing and the state of the housing market, you want to look at unemployment numbers, job creation, and then the type of jobs. You've got a great tech sector in Boston. You've got great healthcare sector in Boston. So this is going to drive, you know, good, well-paying jobs. And you're right on within what we would call inventory, the supply of homes for sale, and the ability to expand through development are going to be things that will limit the choice that consumers have to make for homes.
Yeah.
As choice goes down and there's demand there, price is going to go up.
Yeah. Well, here we are 8 years later after the most extensive housing depression one could think of, and here we are kind of in a normal back to reality situation where homes do have value and we're back into the market again. And obviously Coldwell Banker are the experts in their field by virtue of what we're talking about here. They know the areas, they know the affordabilities, they know the jobs, the schools, and that kind of thing, which is very important. Where do we go for more information?
Well, you can find the complete listing on coldwellbanker.com/HLR, and that's where your listeners can see the every market in the list. They can see where their town ranks, and they can also look at their neighboring towns and places they might be interested in making their next move to.
Very cool. Hey, pleasure speaking to you today.
Ron, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Well, there you have it, kids. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know, I'm always curious about what the future may hold. I don't believe in astrology. I don't even believe in astronomy, so there you go. But I do, I don't know. But it's interesting to wonder what's going to happen. And, of course, that depends on what sign you are. Are you Scorpio, Capricorn, fishy? I don't know the signs, quite obviously. Let's check in and find out what's in the future for you.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead. Regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually. You probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month. Lengthy trial. Oh, and two more. Concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
That is so relaxing. Ah. Well, It's been fun, ladies and gentlemen. Not as much fun as it should be, but fun nonetheless. As I continue to embark upon my no carb, low carb, no carb, low carb, low carb, no carb diet. Someday maybe I'll be able to share a potato with you, but probably not.
Too much can be an overdose. All this trash talk make me itchy. On my shit. Everybody talks too much. It started with a whisper, and that was when I kissed her. And then she met my lips. I can hear the chit-chat. Tip it to your love shack. Mama's always got a backtrack when everybody talks, babe. Never thought I'd live.
Oh, baby, huh? How you feeling today, by the way? I didn't ask you during the show how you're doing. All I do is talk about myself. Never mind.
It started with a whisper, and that was when I kissed her. And then she made my lips turn. I could hear the chit-chat. Take me to your love shack. Mama's always got a back check when everybody talks, babe.
You know what's interesting? Restaurants. I'll tell you why. Because it's one of the few places where they give you the product, you actually use and consume the product, thus being the meal. You sit at one of their tables, you eat their stuff, and then they ask you to pay for it. In what other business or entity do you utilize and totally consume the product without paying for it yet? It's just restaurants. Even when you go to a sub shop and decide to eat the sub there, or like a D'Angelo's or a Papa Gino's or something like that, you pay for the food, and then you sit down at one of their tables and you eat it, but you've already paid for it. Restaurants are the only place where it's the opposite. Where you have the opportunity to say, I didn't like the food, I don't want to pay for it. And then it's on the restaurant either has to argue with you, comp you the food for free, or whatever, or call the cops. But it's an odd entity, isn't it? It is. I mean, even when you rent a car, you don't pay for it until you return the car because you don't know how many miles you're going to put on it or how long you're going to need the car, but they hold your credit card. You can't rent a car without putting your credit card down because you're going to be liable for something as soon as you drive that rental car off the property. But as soon as you put the food in your mouth, you don't have to pay for it. It's free. I find it odd. I have nowhere to go with this. I'm just saying that I find it odd. And with that, I leave you for the day, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. I think I bring it up because I'm so hungry, because I haven't had any starches. I need a starch. Give me a starch. Hey, give me a starch, will you? Anthony!